All right. I'm hoping that I don't know if I'm gonna finish this today. If I don't finish it today, I'll finish it on the other side in a couple weeks. Because, like I said, we won't be meeting this time next Sunday. We've come to chapter 28. We're more than halfway through the book of Job, and everybody said, "Glory, amen." We're going to make it, saints. What you start, you have to finish. But the book, the chapter 28 of the book of Job is the start of four chapters, a four-chapter discourse that Job launches now. He's going to speak for four chapters. And when Job is done in chapter 32, Elihu picks up. You say, who is Elihu? He's not Eliphaz. He's not Bildad, and he's not Zophar. Those are Job's three friends that came to comfort him who are doing such a miserable job, right? Elihu is a younger man who's just been sitting by and listening, and that we didn't know up till you get to chapter 32. And Elihu's now, when we pick up with him, he's going to start for about three or four chapters, or maybe six. He's going to go on, and then after Elihu, God speaks. Amen. And when God speaks after you speak, you hope that you said the right thing. That's what you hope. But that's where we're headed, right? But chapter 28 is one of my favorite chapters in the book of Job. And the reason why is that Job starts with temporal, tangible treasures. And he ends with eternal, heaven's eternal and intangible treasures. That's the layout of the book, a large synopsis of it, or the chapter rather. So we would do well to see Christ represented by types and shadows in this chapter and also throughout the book of Job. Obviously, that goes without speaking. So let me start with, and I'm going to, the first half of the chapter, I just pretty much want to read through because it is 28 verses long. And so it's quite a bit to cover. So I'll try to get it done today. We'll see. Amen. Amen. My brother just said, take your time. So here we go. Surely, Job says, first, Father, Lord, I pray, Lord, for the ministry of your word. And Lord, though the vessel is flawed, Lord, your word is perfect. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, for each one who has that you've given an ear to hear today, may your word speak and bring life and bring healing and bring wholeness and accomplish that which you please and sent it to do. Lord, is my prayer according to the will of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Job says, surely there is a mine for silver. So he talks about a place where something is. A place where something is. A mine for the silver. He says a place where gold is refined. Okay? He talks about iron is taken from the earth and copper is smelted from ore. So there's a place to get. What is he talking about? Precious metals. Silver. Gold. Last time I checked, gold was trading at over $1,000 an ounce. Anybody got an ounce? A couple? You want to lend me? So he's talking about precious metals, right? But he's talking about a place for the precious metal. He's establishing a pattern right up front. Why? Because he wants us to understand, because he's not talking about earthly treasures. He's gonna start out with that, but he's comparing it to something. But he wants us to get the pattern that for the precious thing that you value, there's a place for it. Okay? Now, each one has its proper place. So then in verse 3, he goes on and says, man puts an end to darkness. And he starts talking about mining. Mining. Man puts an end to darkness and searches every recess for ore in the darkness and the shadow of death. He breaks open a shaft away from people in places forgotten by feet. They hang far away from men, they swing to and fro, talking about being lowered down into the mine as they're going down to look for these precious metals. They were mining all the way back then, and we're mining today. Just last week, I remember hearing a headline, you probably heard it too, that 17 miners in South Africa died because they were in a mine and gas leaked leaked into the mine, and they were illegally mining for gold, illegally, and were overcome by gas fumes and perished while in the mine. Well, Job's talking about the same thing. What were they doing? They were going for precious metals, right? And so Job's talking about, he's talking to his three friends still, and he's laying out this case for himself. And sometimes you can get lost in it. You think he's talking, what is he talking about? Well, we're going to get to it in a second. Because, well, let me just wait. But what we see here is that when we value something, we go to great lengths in order to secure that valuable thing, right? Okay, so these men, they value the silver and the gold, and so they're busting rock and doing everything they can to get down into it. Why? Because it's valuable to them. So Job's bringing that out, right? He's bringing that out so that his friends can see it. And what we don't understand, we'll find out in order to get what we value. Because people spend their time and they spend their money on what is important to them, what is priority to them, right? Hey, that's a whole nother sermon. We could go down that road, but not today. Verse 5, as for the earth, did I have it up here? As for the earth, from it comes bread. Talking about the surface of the earth, the ground that we plant seeds in and so forth. But underneath it is turned up as by fire. Where are diamonds made? In the crust of the earth, the pressure, the mantle pushing against one another. The precious things come from that area of the earth, right? So he says, as for underneath the earth, it's turned up as by fire. Its stones are the source of sapphires, and it contains gold dust. The path, that path no bird knows. I love that whole imagery. That path no bird knows, nor has the falcon's eye seen it. And so these birds that fly high above, they have the ability. They can be a mile up in the sky and see a mouse on the ground. The peregrine falcon can see its prey from a mile away. Amen. And here we gotta have glasses to see 50 feet. But the falcon can see a mile away what it needs, right? But God says, Job is saying here, that falcon cannot see the mind, the path of the mind. Why? It's hidden from him. He goes on and says, excuse me, the proud lions have not trodden upon it, nor has the fierce lion passed over it. He, speaking of man, he puts his hand on the flint. He overturns the mountains, talking about digging up dirt and overturning rocks. He overturns it. Now we use explosives. We can blow up a whole mountain to get, man will blow up a whole mountain to get what he wants down in the ground. He overturns the mountain by his roots. He cuts out channels of the rocks, and his eye sees every precious thing. He dams up the streams from trickling, because the fountain for the streams are found down into the earth, right? What is hidden, he brings to light. So man goes at the earth and digging for what he deems is precious to him, what is valuable. And today, people risk their lives daily to obtain and maintain temporal earthly treasures. Temporal earthly treasures. That's what Job is talking about right here. Silver and gold is temporal. It's earthly, it's a treasure, but it's temporal, and they're earthly, right? So Job, after laying that out to his friends, then he begins to get to what he really wants to talk about. He says this, but where can wisdom be found? I remember reading this when I was 19 or 20 years old, and I remember, and I didn't understand it. Then people say, I have trouble seeing Jesus in the Old Testament. Jesus in the Old Testament? And I'm like, Jesus is everywhere in the Old Testament. It's almost like sometimes you can see it. And here we see, we begin to see Job lay out some things. But Job, he turns from precious metals, temporal treasures, and he turns to the priceless, eternal, intangible possession of wisdom and understanding. He says, but where can wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? If you were to pull up, look at wisdom in the Old Testament, very often it is found right next to understanding, as if they're one and the same. And even Job, when he talks about it, he mentions wisdom and understanding, wisdom and understanding, wisdom and understanding. So Job, after laying out the conditions and laying out the situation, seeing men strive for precious metals, for what is valuable to them, he says this: where can wisdom be found? Remember the place we talked about earlier? There's a mine for the silver, a place for the gold. He says, where's the place of wisdom? Where do you go to get wisdom? Wisdom. Never mind what is wisdom. That, by the way, is answered. What is wisdom is the very last verse of the chapter. You can skip ahead and go to it now if you want and read it. But Job doesn't tell you what it is until the end. But here, many verses before, he says, where can it be found and where is the place? Then he says this: man does not know its value. What an indictment. Man does not know its value. The word, obviously, it comes from a root which means to be wise in mind, word, or act, in a good sense, because you can be crafty in a bad sense, right? But the big question is not what it is, but where it can be found. Both it and its place are not on the earth. He just laid out all the people digging in the earth looking for things, precious metals. He says, this man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The wisdom that Job was talking about says, it's not here with us. Verse 14, the deep says, it is not in me, and the sea says, it is not with me. So the things that man didn't even create, but they testify, no, we know nothing about it. It does not come from below where the miners mine metal, but from above, and therefore from God. Right? This is what Job is trying to communicate by way of comparison, is my belief. Well, what is, where is it? I skipped over a scripture. James chapter 3, verse 17. James 3, 17. Verse 15, it says this: the wisdom that is from below is earthly, sensual, and devilish. That's what James says in verse 15. The wisdom that is from below is earthly, sensual, and devilish. But the wisdom that is from above, he says, is first pure, then peaceable. You want to see a Christian? See them walking in the wisdom of God? See if they match this. Pure, peaceable, gentle. Those people out there screaming that they want to kill everybody and saying in the church that they Christians, they want anybody that doesn't agree with them, they want them. I'm like looking at them like, nope. Pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's what James says, the wisdom that is from above, the wisdom that comes from God. So man, who verses earlier sought out the place of all manner of precious metals, here doesn't even know the value of wisdom, much less looking for it. Isn't that the picture of our world today? People looking for, look at the lottery. Man, you know what the lottery is? It's so sad. Because you know who the victim of the lottery is? The people that ain't got no money. It's the devil dressed up. You sit up there. Here, you don't have two nickels to rub together. But you believe that if you give your money to them, you're going to win. No, they're going to take your money. They're going to take your money. And you're going to be twice broke as you were yesterday. Come on now. Hello. But man digging in the earth, trying to find the middle. But where can wisdom be found? Where can wisdom be found? Earthly treasures do not make you wise. We just saw that a few weeks ago. a billionaire decides they're gonna drop down in the water. They're gonna drop down to see what? Death. Then you're gonna drop down. Now us poor folk up here saying, now we could have told you. The poor folk, hey, look here. We could have told you, bro, it ain't worth it. Don't even try. Don't even go down there. Huh? But wealth does not make you wise. Hello? It just gives you the power to do some stupid things. Now, it gives you also power to be a blessing. Abraham was wealthy. Solomon was wealthy. It gives you the means to be a blessing to someone if you so choose. But it also gives you the ability to be a knucklehead. Huh? I'm serious. I just watched a video of a deep sea submersible engineer. This woman has a company where they build the submersibles. The guy who owned the billionaire, he went to her and said, look at my submersible in 2015. And she told him, you are going to kill somebody in this thing. Don't do it. Now, in the beginning of our scripture, Joel was talking about precious metals, money. Then he starts talking about wisdom. Okay? Now, it doesn't matter how many riches you have, but it does matter if you're walking in wisdom. Because wisdom would have heard this woman. But see, when you're rich, you can blow people off. Boom. And I ain't listening to you, man. I got bucks. I got dollars. Okay? The Bible says riches don't profit in the day of death. Read it in Proverbs. Riches do not profit. Riches do not deliver someone in the day of death. But wisdom would say, humble yourself. Do not risk your life or the lives of those. But what we saw happen is exactly what they did. So this wisdom is not found with man. Job goes on, it cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. In other words, this wisdom cannot be bought because nothing is worth trading for it. There is nothing you could give for this that would amount to it, right? There is nothing worth trading it for. In other words, if you said, I'll give you money for the wisdom that you'll have to depart with the wisdom that God has given you, I would say no. No. Verse 17, neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. In other words, Job has covered the gamut. There is no precious stone or metal that you could offer for wisdom. But yet, he says, man doesn't even know the value of it. You can't go purchase that which you don't know exists. Whatever and wherever this wisdom is, it is of supreme value. It is of supreme value. Because remember, Job is asking the question, where is the place of wisdom? Where can it be found? And yet, I did put this one up here. Okay. Jesus, we'll see a picture of it in the New Testament. In Matthew 4:19, a man came running up to Jesus and said, good teacher, what may I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, you know the commandments. Keep the commandments. And he said, I've done all these from my youth up. And he said, what more do I lack? Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have. Now, this was a rich man. Go sell all that stuff Job was talking about down the earth. This guy had it. And Jesus said, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. Now, here's wisdom. Who's Jesus? Jesus is the wisdom of God. Here's wisdom telling this man what he ought to do with his riches. He didn't tell the man, He didn't tell the man, annihilate all your riches. He told him, trade your treasure. Trade your treasure. He said, hey, you got plenty of riches down here now. He said, if you sell and give away, come sell and give away, you will have treasure in heaven. Okay? And then you will be truly rich. But he went away sad because he thought he had riches. He thought he had riches. But let me ask you a question. How rich are you when the moment you die, all your riches are gone? Tell me how rich you are. You're not rich. You are poor and destitute. Jesus said, go sell what you have and you will have treasure in heaven. Come on. This life is temporary. The next life is eternal. Where you want your treasures? Yeah. Whole bunch of people say, I want it now. I want it now. In a beat up old broken body you can't do nothing with. Come on now. Send the treasure on the other side and live for God now. You say, well, it might be short. He may have me do something else. So trade your treasure. Trade your treasure. I'm not saying you got to go give out all of everything you have. Come on. Jesus told him. That's different. This man had the wisdom of God standing right before him. But he didn't value Christ as such. He didn't value Christ as the wisdom of God. Therefore, he went away spiritually poor and destitute, though he had great earthly riches. And I'm telling you, in 30-some years of being working with the public, I've seen a whole bunch of rich, poor people. Huh? I've seen mounds of rich, poor people. Listen to what Proverbs says about wisdom, because this man, he went away sorrowful, but the scripture says, happy is the man who finds wisdom. He went away sorrowful because he had great riches, but the Bible says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. There we see it again, wisdom and understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. Here's another thing to understand about wisdom. Listen, if you, wisdom, the Bible says, is good with an inheritance. There are people who win the lottery. Guess what? 5 years. You go read it. Go Google it. 5 years after they win the lottery, they're broke. 5 years. Why? Because they didn't have wisdom. You can be rich and no wisdom, you'll be broke. But if you have wisdom with an inheritance, you can be a blessing. Her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things one that you may desire cannot be compared to her. All the things that you can desire. Am I in the right scripture? Yeah, there it is. All the things that you may desire cannot compare with her. Now, in a second, we're going to get to where wisdom itself is personified and wisdom begins to speak. But here, Solomon goes on and says, length of days is in her right hand and in her left hand, riches and honor. Oh, wait a second. Hey, wisdom will give you all the things. It will give you all the things that will keep you from wisdom. But once you get wisdom, wisdom can bless you with it. Why? Because you have wisdom. So remember when Solomon, the Lord appeared to him twice, and he says, what do you ask? He says, well, you've made me king over these people. Give me good judgment and wisdom and understanding to be able to judge these people. He says, okay, I've done that, but now I'm going to give you all that you didn't ask for. I'm giving you riches and wealth. But he got wisdom first. Then God gave him riches and honor, right? Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Wisdom must be chosen. Wisdom must be chosen. Remember, Job said, where's the place of wisdom? Remember, we saw that the people were choosing. They were busting open the earth trying to get that silver and gold. Why? Because they said, I want to be rich. I want this. It's going to make me wealthy. But they weren't choosing wisdom. They weren't looking for it. Wisdom must be chosen. Proverbs 1:20. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the streets. This is chapter 1 and chapter 8 both have personifications of wisdom, where wisdom takes on human qualities and speaks. I can't read all of Proverbs 20, Proverbs 1, but it's a beautiful passage. Wisdom says, turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make known my words to you. This is wisdom speaking. It's no different than when Jesus said to the man, go sell all that you have and you'll have treasures in heaven and come and follow me. That was wisdom making known, Christ making, pouring out his spirit and making his words known to them in his day and to us in our day. Wisdom still speaks. Wisdom still speaks. Look at Proverbs 1:28. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. There, by the way, is the answer to what is wisdom. It's the fear of the Lord. So when you go to Job 28:28, wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And when you fear God, you will reverence him. When you fear God, you will respect him. When you fear God, you will take knowledge of his ways and humble yourself and come under the mighty hand of God. Right? He goes on and says in Proverbs 8, listen, for I will speak of excellent things. This is wisdom again personified, wisdom speaking. And from the opening of my lips will come right things. Notice, excellent things, right things, those things are intangible. You can't open up the earth and find right things or excellent things. These things come from wisdom. For my mouth will speak truth. I wish our politicians had this wisdom. I wish all people in leadership that we had these qualities. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction. In other words, you must choose this. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared to her. When I would read this in the Old Testament in my young days as a Christian, all I would see is Jesus. I would just say, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. Because I would cross-reference it with 1 Corinthians 1:30, which says that Christ has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Christ is the wisdom of God. He is the wisdom of God. I'm not going to belabor that, but let me say this. Wisdom is not a concept, it's a person. I've said this about Christ in various ways, like truth. Truth is not a concept, truth is a person. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Life is not a concept, life is a person. What life am I talking about? Eternal life is a person. John 17:3. Where Jesus said, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Let me say it again. John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you. Eternal life. Listen, he who has the Son, 1 John 5:11-12, he who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son of God does not have life. Life is not a thing. Life is a person. Eternal life in particular. Eternal life is a person. It is God himself. That's why he picked up Adam and he blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. He breathed into your life and my life, and we became born again. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and the Holy Ghost breathed on us, and we came too. And we've been giving thanks ever since. Hey, as he's been revealing who the Father is through the Son, right? So wisdom is not a concept, it is a person. 1 Corinthians 1:23, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, everyone who's born again, you're called by God, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So here we, you know, when Job says, where's the place of wisdom? We know where the place of wisdom is. Of course, on this side, we know. Job and his friends, especially Job's friends, they didn't know where the place of wisdom was, but Job was giving them an education. He was taking them through it. Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding to be chosen rather than silver. I just quoted this 1 Corinthians 1:30, where Paul says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Christ has become for us wisdom from God. So there we have both. We have Job's question answered. He says, where's the place of wisdom? It's with God. Notice he said, it's not found in the land of the living. Yeah, it wasn't here. Jesus said, I came from heaven. The Father sent me. All right, let's verse 28. What time is it? Okay. Oh, we're good. I think we'll make it through. Yeah, we'll make it through. All right. Verse 20. From where then does wisdom come? Job goes at it again as he's teaching his friends. And where is the place of understanding? There again, wisdom and understanding as one and the same. It is hidden from the eyes of all living. Jesus said, no man can come unto me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Why? Because he was hidden. No one knew who he was. Jesus went to his disciples and says, who do men say that I am? He said, well, some say you're Elijah. Some think you're one of the prophets. Some think you're John the Baptist risen from the dead. Jesus said, who do you say I am? He says, Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father who is from heaven. Why? Because the wisdom is hidden from the eyes of all the living. No one knew Christ who he was. No one knew he was the wisdom of God. And it's been concealed from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard a report about it with our ears. We've heard about its fame. But this wisdom, we know nothing about. I'm like, oh my goodness, that is Christ. The wisdom of God, hidden in types and shadows in the Old Testament, all throughout the Old Testament. So the wisdom Job mentions here is not human wisdom, nor is its origin earthly. All of God's creation declare their ignorance concerning it. Then we get to verse 23. Wisdom comes from God, because Job says God understands its way. And he knows its place. He knows where it is, and he knows how to get there. God does. And only God does. Well, that agrees with Job 38. Now, who's speaking in Job chapter 38? God himself. And God says to Job, who has put wisdom in the mind? Who puts wisdom in the mind? And who has given understanding to the heart? There it is, wisdom and understanding again. Who's the one who does all this? God says, I'm the one who does it, Job. I'm the one who does it. So wisdom comes from God, answering Job's question. Proverbs says the same. Chapter 2, verse 6, The Lord gives wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Now, obviously, we're using this term wisdom in a broad fashion, because there are wisdom, wise sayings that, you know, people say, and they can give wise counsel, but we're talking about, inclusive of that would be Christ himself, wisdom itself, right? The wisdom of God. So I'll never forget my mother telling the story of a man who was praying for a piano. And he was praying for a piano and waited a while and kept waiting on the Lord. And someone came and offered the man a piano. And he was giving thanks to God. Thank you, Lord, for, you know, the piano for answering my prayer. So he gets the truck, rolls over to the man's house, put the piano on the back of the truck, pulls off. Goes around the corner, going back to his house. He goes up a hill. The piano fell off the back of the truck, smashed all the pieces, was no more good. So the man went back to prayer, and he said, Lord, I thought you answered my prayer by giving me piano. And the Lord said to him, I did give you a piano, but I thought you had enough wisdom to tie it down to the truck. Hey, so you know, wisdom in all its forms. We need wisdom. We need to be wise. Back to this billionaire, I still can't get over it. If the woman told you 8 years ago that the carbon fiber will not, it won't, and Bill told me, you know, the day we were talking about it, he said, you know, back in the early 1900s, they made a sub that went all the way down past the Titanic, went farther down in the early 1900s. Why? Because they built it sturdy enough. They knew how to build it. And this guy knew, but he just didn't want to do it. That is madness. That is madness, right? Wisdom comes from God. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Where does wisdom come from? It comes from God. Who's he give it to? All his people who ask in faith. Come on. Yeah. He gives it liberally. More than you need. What do you need? Here it is. I say to myself, wow. Amen. All right. We're almost done. We're going to end earlier than I thought. Verse 24 goes on. It says, for he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heavens to establish a weight for the wind and apportion the waters by measure. When he made a law for the rain and a path for the thunderbolt, then he saw wisdom and declared it. He prepared it. Indeed, he searched it out. Okay? So what is Job saying here? What he's saying is the one who established the cosmos, okay, the one whom Isaiah says created the earth to be inhabited. And indeed, we're living here, and the astrophysicists, they've been out there for years. They have satellites. They have all these things out there looking for life on other planets. And they've looked at I don't know how many planets. And I love, you know, just reading all the stuff that's being done. They can't find anything. But they see how the cosmos are laid out and how everything is dependent on one another. If the sun wasn't there, the earth couldn't exist. You understand that, right? Everything God made is dependent on one. It's the earth is fine-tuned, as they say. The one who did all of that, who made a weight for the wind moves as it should. It carries water out over the ocean. The clouds catch up the water and bring the water over the rain, over the land, and God causes it to rain on the land, so when you and I plant something, we can get some out of the ground and eat. The one who did that says, let me tell you what wisdom is. Wisdom is listening to me and respecting my laws. Think about that for a second. The one who created it all, who causes food to grow out of the earth to feed the inhabitants, the one who decreed how the earth would function and thrive, says to mankind, the one who put the precious metals in the earth that you say you value, says, value me, value my ways. How does he say that? He says it here. And to man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. So it breaks your heart when you see a person say, I'm not a woman, I'm a man. Because God made you a woman. It breaks your heart when you see people want to change the way God made things to function. And we want to turn it on its head and have everything all right. No, Job says, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. What an astonishing declaration Job makes to his friends about wisdom. And I think for me, I see it this way, that God made Job wise. And Job declares the essence of wisdom and the way to it right here. He declares that the essence of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, and that wisdom comes from God. It comes from God. Now, God was doing this in Job's life. He's writing about it here. You'd be surprised at what the Lord is doing or has done in your life. You'd be surprised. But let me tell you this, as with in Job's life, oftentimes you don't see what God is doing or has done until pressure is applied to your life. Until you get in the midst of a trial, then you're going to see what the real deal is. You're going to see what's really going on, right? And so Job lays this out for his friends. I imagine that his friends were astounded by what he says. Now, I said that God made Job wise, and he declared it here. Why did I say that? Well, I want to show you. Go all the way back to Job chapter 1. Keep your eye on this. The fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and an upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" The wisdom Job was teaching his friends about, he already had it. He was walking in it. God bragged on him to the devil about it, and Job ended up in a trial. And oftentimes, like we say, when we see somebody going through a terrible trial, we want to say, "Well, it must be something you did wrong." Or we won't say that to them, but we sure will think and say, "What's going on with that brother or sister? My goodness, what on earth did all that trouble? What do you know? Did they do anything wrong? Are they sinning?" Job was in the midst of a trial, but he was blameless and upright. He feared God and resisted evil. So the wisdom that Job is teaching his friends about, apparently, according to God's testimony of him, Job was living out that wisdom. Matter of fact, God said about Job that there's none like him on the earth. My goodness. There was none like Job. And God didn't say it once. Job chapter 2. After he had been stricken with sickness, the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without a cause?" That's the part right there that Job knew nothing about. He knew nothing about the incitement of Satan. Satan inciting God against Job in Job's mind. And that's why he was complaining. That's why he couldn't shut up. He says, "No, I'm innocent." So twice God says, testifies of the wisdom that he was responsible for in Job's life, because he revealed himself to Job and Job walked in that knowledge or in the fear of the Lord. So God's testimony about Job was that he was walking in the fear of the Lord. Job's problem was that he didn't think God should put him through what he was going through because he feared the Lord. Job's like, I fear God, I shouldn't be going through this. But newsflash, God can do anything he wants to with what belongs to him. And what belongs to him? Everything, right? So we learn from Job that Well, let me say this. The reason why Job would complain was because he didn't have, I'm not going to say adequate revelation, but further revelation. Job was complaining up to a point. What was that point? He complained up until the point God opened his mouth and God told him, "Were you there when I laid the foundations of the earth? Do you know the mysteries of the snow? Can you control the Leviathan and the behemoth? Do you hold the stars up in the cosmos?" And when God got done, Job said this, "I heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you." So Job talked about my revelation up to the point you started talking. My revelation of you was by what I heard. But now my eye sees you. After that, after what God had said to him, he had a altogether different revelation. And when that revelation came to him, Job says, "I put my hand on my mouth." So what do we learn from Job? That we learn this, amongst other things. We're all in a trial right now. If you're not, well, just hang on. But when we're in the midst of the trial, what do we learn is this. God came to Job and quieted him. He says, "I'm God. I can do anything I want." And then God gave Job a double portion. Aren't you glad he can do anything he wants? So what we learn from that is whatever struggle I may find myself in, whatever hardship, God has obviously allowed it because the devil isn't stronger than God. So for all the people who think the devil's doing all of this crazy stuff, God is sovereign over all things. So if God has allowed me this situation that I find myself in, may we be like Job and learn that the complaining, the blaming, "Oh God, help me," to say like Job said in chapter 13, 15, I believe it is, "Though he slay me, yet will I serve him, yet will I trust in him. Though the trial I am in is very difficult, I'm still going to praise the name of my God." Amen. Why? Because my trial does not determine his worth. Come on, nothing. My trial, my circumstances have nothing to do with how worthy he is. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable, the scripture says. Hello? So Job teaches us that we're going to, in the midst of all the trial, we're going to, Job said, "I'm going to be quiet," but we know the further revelation is even to magnify his name. In all of the trouble, in all of the hardship, we're going to give him the glory. Amen? Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, Jeremiah said this, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me." Hey, God said, if you're going to boast about anything, boast about this, that I've revealed myself to you and that you know me. And because you know me, you possess eternal life. Father, we thank you, O God, for the truth. We thank you for divine revelation. We thank you, O God, that you chose us for revelation to reveal your Son in us, O God. And Father, I pray, Lord, that which you have yet ordained, that which you have yet planned for our lives, oh God, it would even come to pass according to your will, that Jesus Christ in all things might be glorified and lifted high. Lord, let your word have free course and free reign in our lives, we pray, Lord, so that your name would be magnified, the church would be increased, oh God, and the glory of God would fill the earth. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.